Watching from home on Sports Beat Extra.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the second episode of Watching From Home. Coming up on this week's show, we'll be taking a look back at all of the results of the opening round of fixtures, the invasion of pink boots to this year's competition, and how Capo Verde cemented themselves in the hearts of Irish fans all across the world. First with me, joined to my left, is again the kebab king, the social sleuth, Brian Griffin.
Yeah, you used that one already, so it's not exactly that.
I know. I was
you didn't think of new ones.
Pressed for time today, to be fair. And I spent so much thinking about our guest's intro. We have the Watford Wall. We have the steward of the SETU Arena. It's Maeve Williams. Welcome to the show, Maeve. Firstly, who do you think is going to win the World Cup?
I think Portugal are going to win.
Oh, okay. Oh, so you're on board of Brian.
Yeah,
okay.
I'm saying Portugal as well.
It's going to be written in the stars for our friend Cristiano.
I thought they were a dark horse to begin with, but everyone seems to be kind of mentioning Portugal now a bit more that the competition has actually started.
If they do win, I've never been going to be so glad that my prediction has been on like a place in time. It's like, I said it before it started rather than someone's like, oh, I don't think you said it. I was like, no, it's literally, you can go back and listen to it.
Wait, why do you think Portugal, Maeve?
I think Ronaldo's due a World Cup. I think Messi won the last one and it's just written in the stars. I don't know how much he's going to play and I don't know how much.
Pure sentimental value then.
Yeah.
Okay. That's a bit different from yours, would you? You were kind of like listing off accolades of all the players.
Yeah. It's less written in the stars, more written on paper.
Both equally as valid of reasons.
But honestly, so far, like on paper, it doesn't really mean anything.
No, well, they haven't even played a game yet, so.
Well, no. Well, also the fact that like other teams that are favourites didn't win the matches that we thought they would.
I know. It's been a lot of draws this week and one very particular good goalkeeping performance, which I'm glad we have Maeve in now because we can actually talk about it a little bit.
Proper goalkeeper analysis.
Goalkeeper's a partner.
Just quickly before we get into the fixtures, the ones, by the time you're listening to this, these games will have been played, but we wouldn't have seen them. France-Senegal, which I'm kind of gutted about. Iraq-Norway, Argentina-Algeria and Austria for Jordan. So if you don't hear us talking about some major upset like Norway have lost 10-0 to Iraq, that's why.
Yeah, that would be the big one.
Well, to be fair, if we didn't just mention that off the bat, yeah. There has been some results kind of similar enough to that vein. Germany giving off a bit of, was it Brazil 2024 against Curacao with that 7-1? Was it 2014 rather, yeah.
Yeah.
Geez, over 10 years ago now since that World Cup.
Yeah, well, myself and my friend were talking about something that 16 years ago, and I was like, oh, that was the 2010 World Cup. And they're like, no, it's not. I was like, it was, though.
That's crazy.
That is insane.
No.
We're old people.
Speaking of the 2010 World Cup, South Africa got off to a very poor start against Mexico, the host nation. I have to say, the Azteca.
Yeah.
Unbelievable venue. It looks so nice when you're watching it, and it's just so close to the pitch. It's one of those things that you're kind of like, the atmosphere in there must echo pretty much throughout the whole stadium. And the only place that I was actually surprised, I saw the Mexican wave in Mexico.
Yeah, they just call it the wave there.
Just the wave, yeah.
Yeah. They don't go crazy with that.
What did you make of this opening match? I thought South Africa were dreadful. Like, I thought they were genuinely really bad and I was not expecting them to be that poor.
I agree. I think to see a side to struggle that much in their opening game is concerning. I don't think Mexico were any kind of trailblazers. I think Mexico probably played to the level that we expected Mexico to play at. Out of the three host countries, I'd say Mexico are who we're looking at as the strongest. Mm-hmm. I think South Africa are so disappointing to watch.
I completely forgot Raul Jimenez played for Mexico.
Not me, Fulham.
Yeah, Fulham legend. To be fair, I thought Mexico, as it starts out, like a really nice way to open up the World Cup with three red cards,
yeah,
a 2-0 win for a host nation.
There was four red cards in all of the Qatar World Cup and there was three in the first match of this World Cup, which is actually
it's a really weird one though, because that seems to have just been an oddity. Like that referee seems to have been on, like, just going crazy with the red cards in the first game.
But also all of them I think were justified. All of them I think were fair. Yeah, I there was none of them that I thought were.
Do we not think, I think the first one, absolutely. I think that's a red card because he's through. The second one, like, that's pure VAR red card where you kind of see a little slap on the face. I don't think it warrants a red. And then the third one, I don't think the lad from South Africa is going through there.
But there's
two defenders on the inside and there's a goalkeeper there as well. Like, it's not by no means a one-on-one situation.
No, I think it was. I think it was fair. Like, if that was in your match... Well, first of all, if it was against you, you'd be like, oh yeah, send him off. But if that was your defender,
if it was in your match,
you'd
be like, what am I doing in Mexico?
Yeah.
why am I here? I think you have to take into account how quickly the game is happening. How fast the ball is moving, how fast the players are moving towards goal. I think that's a massive part of it. And realistically, if that foul doesn't happen, he is through on goal. And it's the whole dogs of denying a goal scoring opportunity, obvious goal scoring opportunity, which is definitely it. So I think like the two that you've spoken about there that are like slightly could be argued with are both come down to technicalities.
Mm.
The whole point is to try and take out the argument. Well, you can't argue with that because it's a technicality.
A nice way to open up the World Cup though, which I feel like there was very little sort of hullabaloo about up until it actually started.
Mm.
And I think if there was a country that I wanted to kick it off, it probably would have been Mexico.
I'm so happy it was Mexico.
Yeah.
They seem to be like living for it. Like Canada are like happy to be there. America, like, this is great, but like they're not really great atmosphere.
All I've seen about America is the chants.
Yeah.
That's all I've seen about this entire World Cup. They've been doing the "we like it, we like it, we love it" one.
Oh, I said, "we believe that we will win." Do you ever see that?
That's a classic one. That's a Seattle Sounders chant.
Oh,
yeah, from back in the day. Yeah. That has its place in history, I feel like. I wouldn't put ill on Seattle Sounders now.
Just in case they're listening. No, look, it was a fun game to start with. Like, red cards are always fun. I love when there's a red card in a match. Like, it's up there with goals and fights. But it was setting the tone for that it's going to be competitive and people care. Like, South Africa panicked under the situation, realistically, and they were putting in stupid tackles, and that's how they got the red cards. And then I think Mexico should have won by more. When you're playing against 9 players, like,
I agree,
in your home stadium, like, you should be.
Yeah.
And how long were they against 9 players?
Oh, jeez. What? I don't even remember. When was the first red card?
Was it not? They're not both in the first half, no? No, it's first. No. First,
well, I don't think.
Considerable amount of time.
Yeah, it was definitely half an hour, I'd say.
Consistency, most probably closer to a half of football than not.
Yeah, and they were like, they were on top of them before any red card.
Yeah.
Like, they were probably like at their most competitive against them before any red card, and
that's
then
true.
They kind of
never kicked
dialed
off.
It back. Yeah,
one thing that kind of stuck out to me, and actually stuck out to people who aren't even interested in football, I got a text off my sister immediately being like, why are all the players wearing pink boots at the World Cup? This seems to be a new phenomenon. I don't know, as a player, has this been a thing that's been talked about before?
I think I love seeing the bright boots coming back, because we've seen all black recently. Like, you walk into a shop and it's just a wall of black boots. I think it's great to see the bright pink boots coming back.
All right, then. I'll be wearing pink boots.
I can't, unfortunately, wear a pair of bright pink boots.
Yeah.
I don't know if the goalkeeper in Union can hop on the pink boot trend.
Like,
there's certain positions that it doesn't warrant pink boots.
Wait,
you can't have a centre half wearing pink boots.
Are you not allowed to wear pink boots, or you just don't?
Personally, it'd be against
my
morals.
I thought it was like there was like something the goalkeeper was like, no, you're not allowed to wear pink boots.
So superstition dating back to years in the League of Ireland.
Yeah, disagree with it. If my centre half may have already came out now wearing pink boots, I'd be really annoyed.
Some countries, I think you can get out. I think if you're in Ireland or even like the UK, colourful boots are like, you have to be good as well, don't you? Like,
you can't be bad and wear
you can't have a howler in like colourful boots, which actually was killer. I remember when I first moved down to Waterford, the first game of football, this is so off track, first game of football I played, I got these bright orange like Predator boots. I wanted the black ones because I was like, okay, that's fine, they'll blend in, but they only had these bright orange ones that look like traffic cones, and I was like, okay, well, I need boots, so I'll get them. I was so shit, like, so bad. Genuinely, I think I fell over the ball. I think and the last time, actually, I've only broken a bone once in my life, and that was in a football match. I say the guy failed me. I fell over the ball and fractured my wrist.
Yeah, I have.
In your orange boots?
No, not in the orange boots. That was back in the day. I think I don't even know what colour boots I wore back then. Yeah.
I've only gotten injured a few times in my playing days, and two of them were from me landing badly. So I fractured my elbow when I missed the ball when I was trying to do a trick, and then I sprained my ankle when I kicked the ball and then landed badly.
Yeah.
So that's, and the ref was like, it's a free. I was like, no, lad, I just, that was me. That was all me.
Maybe you've never had any awful injuries at all. No?
Yeah. I'd be in trouble now if it was from landing.
Yeah. Every time you fail, you're like, I'm gone.
No, thankfully not. Maybe it's because I wear black boots.
Yes, it is, yeah.
Let's keep the superstition away. But apparently, I was looking up, so the pink boot thing, it's the most high contrast colour on green grass.
Yes.
So that's the whole new thing, which I thought for a while, obviously black was the thing because it's such a different shade, like, you
sleek.
Can't. But I don't know. I don't know how to feel about it.
Black is so nonchalant, and then pink is just like out there.
When I see black boots, I think of like, you know, the older sort of fine wine vintage players, like, you know, like midfielders pinging passes and things like that, or even just like someone like Roy Keane, like somebody who just bash into people. And then
bright color boots is fast. That's how I think
fast and skillful. Yeah.
Surprises me that all the brands have gone for pink.
Pink.
You know, Puma have a little bit of orange in theirs, but for none of them are standing out from each other.
It makes the boys wink, to be fair.
Yes.
Legally. Legally.
We'll talk about more pink later, because actually it isn't just for the boots, but also for other referee gear as well. So we'll talk about that in a bit. But Czech watch. Czechia lost 2-1. They lost 2-1. Genuinely, I stayed up. This was the perfect hate watch to watch. And South Korea were not good by any stretch of the imagination. And I don't know, that first goal just sort of trickles in, like it's really poor. Like, yeah. I thought Czechia, like, yeah, after after doing all the hard work of getting there, maybe they've run out of steam. Hopefully.
It's so disappointing. Like, their journey to the World Cup was so interesting and like a real story, like for the Czech fans especially, like, and they get to the World Cup and that happens. That's their first goal conceded.
Because we were only talking about it last week, like the fact that Czech football was in such a precarious spot, and that's why Ireland thought they could actually go over and win.
We didn't.
Still raw. Yeah. But
anyway.
But their new manager, first competitive match was in that game against Ireland. The fact that they went on Bet Denmark then, now in the World Cup, you're kind of like, I don't know, you'd be disappointed to think he's a Czech fan, but you'd also be like, didn't expect to be here, so maybe this is just an added bonus, really, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, I'm struggling more with staying up to watch the matches. I used to be staying up late the whole time, and now, like, I was over at my friend's house watching the 2 a.m. kickoffs, and I fell asleep. They're starting
to even out a little bit. Like, yesterday we had 5 o'clock kickoff and we have a 6 o'clock kickoff today at the time, or an 8 o'clock one rather.
But no, the 2 a.m. ones, the first one was the Scotland one. The Scotland one, I went over and I kept dozing off, and every time there was a highlight, he'd give me a nudge every time he thought there might be a goal. And then there was another one the night before, and I just had to sleep at halftime. It was the American one. I watched the American one and had to fall asleep at halftime. But you know what annoys me more than that? Hydration breaks.
Oh,
can't be standing, right?
Your thoughts on this, actually, because I know you've obviously played in games where there have been hydration breaks, but that's because there was extreme heat. Like,
I think it's absolutely justified in extreme heat, but when you're playing in an air-conditioned stadium, first of all, it has to be. I think if you're playing in an air-conditioned stadium, they put the hydration break in the bin.
Yeah.
But also, don't know who was playing, don't know what game it was, but there's the fourth official, there's like someone working for the television production standing beside the fourth official delaying the restart from the hydration break because they're finishing with the ad that's being played at the time
That was the Mexico one. I think that was at the towards the start of it that they had to delay.
I actually saw a clip of it on TikTok, but that's crazy. And you've got 22 players out on the pitch waiting for the game to restart on their hydration.
They're 3 minutes each. Like, okay, a minute to get a drink, take a break, and then go back out again is enough. But it's just for
by all accounts tactical. Like,
they've become quarters now. Now quarters, like, and it's just
like, sure, the subs Spencer up for the hydration break. What are they doing? Like, they're just sitting there
saying hello, boy. They're getting part of the atmosphere.
If I saw a sub coming for a bottle of water now, and I'd been out there playing, I'd be raging. But the thing was, I suppose it's one of those things. Well, it doesn't just. Obviously, it's poor from the whole fact of it's obviously advertising kind of taking over and consumerism at its worst. But like, the whole thing was, if you're a team that has momentum, you're then being like forced to stop for 3 minutes. The only time I was happy about hydration breaks was in the Capo Verde match. I was like, they're just getting battered. So it actually makes the most sense for like they're gaining by this being a thing. But for matches like, we'll get onto it later, but the Netherlands-Japan match was. The first half was just so awful.
First half was dead, yeah.
The first half was dead, and we'll talk about it, but it was just so bad to the fact that, like, hydration breaks just added to the whole, like, what am I doing sitting watching this, like,
it
you know?
It just kills momentum.
Mm. Yeah.
Especially, I guess, like, I know obviously the American advertisers will have their ads on. Like, we don't have that. I'm actually kind of happier enough that we don't, but I'd be interested to know if the ads were on, would it make it an easier watch? Like, would it go quicker or what would be the case?
Then it really turns it into 4 quarters.
Yeah, no, yeah. I hate the ads, and it's going to be the same ad again. It's going to be the one that you'd be at the start of the match, you have fans, and at the end of the match, you have friends. And I'm sick of seeing that ad so much. I'm so sick of that ad. It's driving me insane. Like, every time it comes on, I get annoyed.
Canada and Bosnia finished 1-1. Pretty uneventful opener for Canada. I think they'll be happy enough with the point in that game as well.
Alfonso Davies wasn't playing.
He's got a bit of an injury. Like, I think their hope is that, I remember hearing the Canadian head coach talking about that his hope is that once the knockouts come, he should be fully available. But I'm kind of worried, like, will they even make it that far is the question. Like, so do you take a gamble on that? There's a lot of players injured. Like, Spain was a prime example of that yesterday. Yeah. Like, half of their team were kind of just coming back from injury, like, obviously Yamal, but like a couple of the other players there that were coming on.
But they thought they could not use a second string side against Cap Verde.
Yeah, well, like, in fairness,
fair.
If you're the Spanish head coach, you're probably thinking that's a safe bet, but as we will talk about later, not the case. USA Paraguay 4-1, not a surprising victory. Maybe the volume of goals from the US, considering how bad their preseason up to it was.
They were actually pretty good in the second half. Like the fourth goal was insane. I actually really liked the fourth goal. Reina's, I don't know, hopefully it's one off, because I just don't want the America to do well. I'm like, okay, they got their win, they can celebrate. The most random thing for that match was, did you see Tom Cruise and David Beckham and Robbie Keane hanging out?
All standing beside each other.
They were sitting beside each other in the stand. It was just the most random link up of people I've ever seen. Like, David Beckham, Tom Cruise makes sense, and then just Robbie Keane definitely, like, trying not to be like, geez, I love Mission Impossible, like, you know, so.
What are they talking about?
Yeah, what is the conversation?
Beckham and Cruise definitely have some, like, because they've both acted in stuff.
Yeah.
Beckham was in, what was it, the Green Knight, or that one of King Arthur, wasn't it, he was in?
Oh, he
plays a knight in that, doesn't he?
Yeah, he was.
And he's been in a couple of those really poorly produced like football movies as well.
Yeah. But no, it's I don't know. It was a random link up. It made me happy, to be fair.
Robbie Keane just ending up in the weirdest situations.
Because I saw photos of David Beckham and Tom Cruise, and then later on Robbie Keane's story, I saw a picture of the three of them, and I was like, "That's crazy."
Make sure that people
that is a one.
There as well,
yeah.
Any of the photos.
Yeah, you want to be like on that same level. I was like, "Oh yeah, just hanging out with Beckham and Cruise there." It's like, who? So Tom and David actually as
two big sides, Brazil, Morocco, not London to LA. 1-1 between both of them. Again, a pretty pointless match. I actually thought this was going to be the game of the week for me. I thought this is going to be brilliant. Literally only a spot separating them in the FIFA rankings.
Really
poor performance. Brazil, again, I just thought were really bad as well.
I think it's the thing with all these teams of, you don't want to go out and have a howler of your first game, because then after that sets the tone. Because let's say Brazil were like, we're going to be super attacking. Morocco end up winning 2-1. They're now behind, and like also like it's now a struggle whether they'll get out or something. That complete like Brazil, like that would completely destroy Brazil, because they're so ego driven that would like be the end of them. So I don't know, all these 1-1 draws. I saw a meme of like one of the groups, like everyone has 1 point. It's like, they're just shy. It's like everyone's shy. It's like
waiting to come out of their skin.
Yeah, but like it kind of is realistic, because they're kind of trying to suss out what the other teams are like and how they're going to play. So they are just kind of shy and scared, like, which is fair.
Yeah, for Brazil, I mean, it took a moment of magic, I think, from Vinny Jr. to get them back in the game. And if he doesn't pull that off.
Yeah, Morocco were on top. Like, Morocco were on top most of the game. Like,
yeah, 100%.
So, don't know, wait for Neymar to come back.
Yeah.
He's probably not going to do much, to be fair, but it'd be cool to see him playing.
100%.
Scotland's first game in the World Cup since 1998 ended in a 1-0 win against Haiti, heavyweight giants of the footballing world. A goal from John McGinn early on as well. If anyone is to score for Scotland, I'm always happy when it's John McGinn. I
love when John McGinn does anything. He just seems like such a chill dude.
Well, it always brings me back to the comment that Roy Keane made about him being like, when John McGinn's on it, he's good, but most of the times he's just underperforming, or he's just not great of a player. I'm paraphrasing this, obviously, because Roy Keane speaks probably a bit harsher and a bit better than I do. But then when you go out and you see him in obviously these big tournaments and playing well, obviously for Aston Villa and then for Scotland, like, and there's a bit of me that's kind of like, Scotland is unofficially probably that team I want to see do well in this tournament.
Yeah, well, they're the closest thing we have to us, so we kind of,
well, outside of Cape Verde.
Yeah.
I think their fans are doing the job for us.
Yeah,
out in America.
Yeah,
Scottish fans.
Yeah, I saw a thing of someone got an Airbnb and at 6:30 in the morning they had bagpipes out in some street in Boston. So, which I respect, to be fair.
An opening round win does loads for confidence boosting.
Oh, massive.
It'll keep them in. I'm still convinced, and I said at the beginning, I think they're going to top that group. I think they're going ahead of Brazil and Morocco. I think they're getting through it.
I think so. I think they're going to, like,
I don't think they're getting ahead of Brazil.
But all they have to do is beat one of Brazil and Morocco. Now, I can absolutely see them pulling something out the bag against Brazil. I don't know why.
I can see them beating Brazil. I think Morocco, they
Morocco,
might lose.
But if they get a draw against Morocco.
No, I don't think they're,
I think they're definitely out of these group stages, just with the third place best team, the eight of them or whatever.
I don't see Haiti beating Morocco and Brazil, to be fair.
Oh, could you imagine?
Well, that'd be insane.
Well, there's weirder things have happened at the World Cup. I'm delighted about this next result, because you were like my underdogs of the tournament and then they immediately got smashed 2-0 by Australia. But Australia-Turkey.
Yeah.
What an unreal result for the lads down under.
Yeah, well, I obviously thought Turkey were going to be better. I didn't watch this one. This was one of the 5 o'clock ones.
Yeah.
So did not watch this one.
I didn't see a whole lot of the game, but what I did see was a fan zone in Australia. celebrating the win, and someone saying on TikTok, like, they never get to celebrate these wins at a normal time for them.
They're always up in the middle of the night.
And fan zone absolutely packed out. I think it was 8 or 9 p.m. in the evening.
That's nice, then.
They're having a great time, so I'm actually really happy for them.
To be fair, majority of the Australia supporters probably Irish people as well. So yeah, just, exactly. That's kind of works.
True. It's genuinely, we could have had one of those. We could have had the pubs open till after 12.
Morning. Yeah. Saw that in Scotland, all right.
Bank holiday for the Scottish match, pub. Isn't it? Yeah.
Germany, Curacao, not quite Brazil, but similar result to 2014, 7-1.
Very happy with this.
Curacao just happy to be there, I guess.
I have Germany and our sweepstakes in work.
Oh, okay.
So this was good for my ego. I needed this.
Goal difference.
Yes. So
big, yeah.
I'm happy with that.
It's the first, this sets the point now, obviously, where we have the first sort of absolute just complete and utter destruction of a team. Germany just scoring for fun.
Towards the end of the match, they didn't even care. Like, they were putting passes, and if it wasn't to the feet, they just weren't even running for it. And I'm not going to lie, I kind of respect it a small bit, because they're just like, there's no point in us putting in too much pressure. Like, they were still attacking and stuff, but they just didn't. They were at 60% by the end of the match, because they didn't need to be.
Well, they've obviously learned, because I remember back in 2014 when they were beating Brazil, and I think they were up 6-1 or whatever. Andre Schürrle's just still giving it 100%, trying to score the seventh goal, and you're like, relax, like, please, they're gone. I think it sets a really good tone for Germany, because I still feel like they're probably not at the heights of the tournament favourites, but also just that little level below. And I think if you're making a statement victory, especially when Spain have dropped points in their opening fixture, you're kind of almost directing everyone to be like, look at us, we're here to play and we're not messing around.
They were playing well, like Wirtz was playing very well. And like the whole team, like Havertz actually had a great game. Like his second goal.
A couple of players that underperformed during their league seasons have been playing very well.
I think it's just a different system suits them. The like even Musiala and stuff being back is nice, because didn't he get like a horrific leg break at the start of last season? Injury. Yeah, so
I think if Germany progress, I think if they progress to the quarterfinals or past the quarterfinals, that Havertz could be in for a golden boot shout. If they get far enough, because he's on penalties for them as well. He scored a penalty for them.
Yeah, and two goals already is a good start, actually.
Yeah, so I think they're a bit of a dark horse, I think, Germany, even though they weren't probably up there with the top four.
Yeah, that's so fair.
The result is overshadowed, though, by the Goretzka fan that has gone to the World Cup. Have you seen these videos, Maeve? Or?
I'm obsessed with this. I'm so obsessed.
This is not a new phenomenon, though, either. Like, this is for context, and we'll probably play a clip of this I'll edit it in the playback, but this is generally just a fan that's standing outside whenever Bayern Munich are playing or whenever Germany are playing, and you'll hear everyone being like, oh my God, Germany, whatever. And then this one guy in the back just shouting, Goretzka!
Goretzka!
And the big point that makes it so funny, he hates him.
Oh, he really
can't stand him at all.
He'd be smiling coming out, and then as soon as he hears it, dropped. Like, completely just out of it.
That was the same, because there was maybe in the training camp, like, there was someone with fans went over to him. He's like, oh, signing thing. He's like, oh, Red Scott. And then he's like, his face just dropped.
Did he ever hate
it? Like, I don't know. He must hate it so much, but it is quite funny.
You wonder, like, is the guy like sitting behind the goal shouting it when Germany are taking a corner?
I always wonder, is he just one of his friends that, like,
definitely not, there's no way.
It would be a funny bit if that was your friend and you were playing.
Have you ever had anyone be an absolute mega fan and just start screaming Maeve Williams
you're walking around Tesco?
I imagine I've seen a few of those Waterford FC games. There'd be a few now that'd be jumping over the fence now to try and get at you.
Yeah, the ultras at Waterford FC games are pretty crazy. Yeah.
I still think back that opening game, that one against Shelburne, like this group of schoolgirls in the back and all they're doing, what do we think of Shelburne? Shit! What do we think of shit? Shelburne! 4-0, like. It was brilliant, though. It was unreal. It really set the tone for whatever FC games going forward.
We get that back when we go up to Talca. Much appreciated. That.
That's the rivalry we didn't expect from the league starting out. Netherlands-Japan. This is a game. This is genuinely a game of two halves. Like, the first half is so
terrible.
If you were to show me the first half and the second half, I'd be like, these are two different games.
First half was
terrible. The Orti commentary on this was woeful as well. John Kenny just sitting there like, Japan got a goal. Oh, it's a goal for Japan. They got out of nowhere. Like, they're exhausted from the first half. But it's a game, again, I can liken this to, you know, when you're going down one of those back country roads and there's not enough space for two cars and you meet another driver. But in this situation, you know, one of you might initially pull into the side to let the other through. This is like both drivers are adamant they're not moving and they're going to stand there. Yeah. Both of the teams played such a defensive back line, did not like want to give anything away. Japan's system, I have to say, I was kind of rooting for Japan this match.
Yeah, I like the Netherlands.
Van Dijk got torn apart in the second half as well. Well, outside of the goal, though, like, that could have been anyone at the back post. Like, there was no one marking him. Like,
no.
But that second half of Japan, I think it made it that bit more interesting. If that was the full case from the 90 minutes, this would be arguably my game of the week. Sweden-Tunisia. This is a game I want to talk on. So 5-1, Isak and Gyökeres both score.
Yeah.
Happy out for both of them.
All banger goals as well.
Yeah.
I think it says a lot about Sweden that it was four different goal scorers as well, I think, was it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it says a lot about them. They're probably putting
some brilliant American commentators on this as well. he was like, the first goal goes in. It's obviously like the most horrible goal you've ever seen, two deflections and then a bounces and he volleys it in, and it's like the American commentator's like, he's gonna put himself in the legends books. And you're like, it's the one of five goals that were scored that evening. I don't think that's legendary status. What might be legendary status is Tunisia's manager getting sacked after just one game at the World Cup.
It's his fifth game in charge.
Yeah, Sabri Lamouchi, but it's first ever World Cup, and if he gets sacked, that'll be the new record for many games you would have managed at a World Cup and got sacked. Which, funnily enough, as we were mentioning before, it's not the first time Tunisia have had that. Back in 1998, there were three firings after just two games in charge. Managers from South Korea, Saudi Arabia and Tunisia.
That's crazy. Like, what are you gonna do with a new manager now? Like, there's just take the, like, losing to Sweden isn't that bad.
No, not if you're Tunisia.
Yeah, that, yeah, and it's like, what are you gonna do? Who are you gonna bring in now? Like,
I hope they have a healthy bank of managers lined up in Tunisia.
Yeah,
because this is now the second time they've
chomping
done that.
At the bit.
Imagine they just bring in like Klopp for like two matches.
Yeah,
that'd be pretty sick, wouldn't it?
Look,
he's still head of football at Red Bull, isn't he?
Yeah, he's doing commentary over for Germany though at the minute. So
I think. Bon Matti is doing commentary for Spain, isn't she? Am I right in saying that at some point?
No. I don't know.
Didn't see it.
Right, well, that was a great conversation, guys. the game of the week, I think, probably for me, Spain Capo Verde. Yeah. What an unbelievable, like, genuine. I wasn't expecting to get as caught up in this match as I did, or to feel as sort of much pride as I did for this match. Obviously, Pico Lopez is a big talking point from an Irish perspective, but we have to talk about their keeper.
He gained like 2.5 million followers after the match.
Oh, don't worry, I'm looking that up now.
I can't imagine what his phone looked like when he came back into the dressing room.
So Vizinha had 20,000 followers before the match. He now has 6.3 million.
Six?
It was, okay. He's more than Tim Payne.
More, I think, after the match. So he's gained another 2 million.
Oh, no, it's 6.3 now.
It's been since the game has been played.
Yeah.
Since after the game.
Yeah. Crazy, like.
That's actually madness.
Poor Pico.
I love it, though. It's like a 40-year-old keeper. It's his World Cup debut. And people are just getting so behind him. Like, that's going to change his life.
I spoke to someone about this yesterday. How you would, like, control your emotions as a 40-year-old would be so different to a 25, 30 year old goalkeeper in the World Cup. He must be able to handle his nerves and his excitement and everything so well to just pull out a performance like that then in Spain.
But do you reckon it's like everybody's praising him? He got man of the match. He has 6 million followers now. And it's like the lads group chat are being like, he could have been better. You could have saved that one. You could have held on to that one. It's like you need the humbling. Like the lads group chat is never going to give you a compliment from that light, you know?
Also, I think the fact it was so much more emotional for him because his mother couldn't get a visa to come over and watch the match, or the cost of it was too much.
Oh, really?
So the fact that like he was there on his own, kind of just performing for this, like I feel like just like you could see how much it meant to him after the full time whistle. He was genuinely in tears. And I just like there was a part of me that was like, he really does earn that moment. Like,
but even like I saw Pico Lopez block the ball at one stage and went out for
that,
like a phenomenal block
that last minute
of the match.
Ditch,
but like he was like cheering that. It's like that was the only match we've had on in work. We were working. For legal reasons, we were still working, but we were watching the match intently, and like every chance that they had, they nearly scored towards the end. We were so hoping that they would just hold it out, like, because people are like, oh, I wish they score. It's like, if you said before the match it's going to be nil all, you'd take that. You'd take that, no questions 100%. Asked. So I don't know, it was great.
Yeah, and hopefully it's the first of many surprises. Big upsets for them to come.
It just feels like the FA Cup, though. It just, like, all these matches feel like FA Cup. It's like, it's a one-off. You never know what's going to happen. And it's just, like, that kind of stuff happens. Like, you would never think that that's going to be the result of that.
Yeah, actually, speaking of Pico, he was chatting to media earlier this week, and we've actually cut together a bit of the conversation just to highlight his presence at the World Cup. The effect the Irish support is having on him.
My name is Roberto Lopez. My nickname is Pico, which everyone calls me.
Roberto Pico Lopez, as I'm sure we're all already aware, is the only Irish-born player playing at this summer's World Cup. Qualifying through his father's roots, the Shamrock Rovers defender represented Cabo Verde on Monday in their historic first ever World Cup fixture, forcing a draw out of one of the tournament favourites, Spain.
It's a dream for every young footballer, I feel. It definitely was for me, like growing up on the road, kicking the ball around, playing the game, World Cup, like that's where you wanted to be. It really was, like, and obviously, I suppose the realities maybe kick in as you get a bit older, and you realise how hard you have to work just to be a professional footballer, never mind playing at the biggest tournaments in the world. But for me, it was something you always had to dream of, like whether you were 18 or 28, like I was, you had to believe you could be there, and you had to dream of playing these big games. So for me, it was something that never lied to me. Was it something that I expected? Probably not, but I always dreamt about it. It's incredible. I know the story has probably got a few spins now at this stage, like, but it really is the stuff of dreams. I've always wanted to be a professional footballer, and I think even the journey to get to there, like, it's, you have to go through probably the struggles of part-time and working and where our league was at, like, a few years ago, to how it's developed, and I suppose how we've managed to develop as a league as well, to produce players that are playing at international tournaments. You've seen the under 17s, you've seen the women's as well, like, so it really is a story of progression. Cape Verdean fans over here have really made themselves known, and they've shown, like, really genuine appreciation of just representing our country, like, and I have to say, the support has been overwhelming.
For Lopez, it wasn't just about playing football for the nation. Adopting the language and culture was a huge part of what brought him and his teammates closer together.
Creole is what he used, and I suppose on the pitch, that's all I used. So it made me business when I joined here. I didn't want to just be, like, here for the football. I wanted to be here for everything. I thought it was important that I made that effort to try and learn the language and learn the culture and everything I could about Cape Verde. So yeah, on the pitch we use Creole to communicate and meetings and all the languages around. The place is Creole, and you also have your French speakers, your Dutch speakers and English speakers who will converse on that as well. Like, but where we can we try and speak Creole.
Well, the fans have been right in Pico in the team's corner. His Shamrock Rovers teammates have been continuing to keep him grounded.
They give me a lot of stick at the moment about me, the amount of stuff I post on Instagram. I'm normally quite quiet on that, like, so they're making the feelings heard on that, like, which is great.
Lopez's involvement in the tournament has given Irish fans a country to shout for during the competition. The love from those back home is something Lopez says he'll never forget.
I don't, like, take this, like, sentiment lightly. Like, I do feel like I'm representing two countries at this World Cup, like, and that's because of the support I felt, like. I think it's been seen, the send-off I got from the road I grew up on, like, that's something that'll stick with me forever. To say, growing up on that road where I played football, played World Cups, and for every sort of, like, New Year's, birthdays, Christmas, Halloween, everyone was out on the street, and that's something that sort of died away as we started to get a bit older, like, so to sort of bring it back to that sort of basis of everyone out there, and that was for me, that was to send me off, just to wish me well, like, that really sticks with me. 2002, like you said, that was my favourite World Cup ever. I loved that Brazil squad, they were full of stars. They're the ones who I wanted to be. I wanted to be Ronaldo's, Rivaldo's, and Roberto Perez's. I think I had the three Brazil jerseys with them names on it. Like, and then obviously the memories of the TV getting wheeled into the classrooms to watch Ireland versus Germany, and then I can't remember the group game you watched where Damien Duff scored. Like, but they were memories that stick to me. Like, back in the day, like in school, where we had the LVCR sets as well. Like, so yeah. 2002 was my favourite World Cup, and if it's, this one's going to be anything half like that, it'd be amazing.
Iran, New Zealand. Genuinely, there's obviously stuff off the pitch with regards to the visa applications for Iranian teammates. A lot of their management team weren't accepted to go in to the US for this match, and then even immediately after the match, which finished at, I think it was just 7 minutes past 10, they had to be on a flight at 11 back to their base camp in Mexico, which I think is utterly ridiculous. Like, and it completely goes against the whole ethos of what it should be, just to be a general decent human being, but also what the World Cup stands for as well.
But imagine if they just, like, get through, like, there's a chance that they come up against America. Imagine that match.
Couldn't happen.
That'd be insane.
I will just say, from the New Zealand perspective, big shout out to Elijah Just for getting two goals in that game. That first goal, actually, for New Zealand was brilliant. That was what Spain were hoping they would get. It's a real tiki-taka sort of play, but we won't delve into that too much.
That was last night. I did not see that.
Let's quickly give our idea of what we thought the game of the week was. Maeve, I'll start with you, as you're the guest.
I'm going to award game of the week to Scotland. Just because I'm so happy for them.
Super fan.
I know it was Haiti and they were expected to win the game, but I was delighted to see Scotland start well, all of them up in the middle of the night.
That's so fair.
2-0 clean sheet, 3 points.
And one of the few teams in these opening fixtures to actually get a win. So
yeah. it'd be an insane vibe to go over to Scotland to watch one of the matches and
it'd be amazing.
Yeah.
And John McGinn. The mix. So he's my man of the match, player of the week.
There you go.
Brian?
Had to be the Spain Cape Verde match. I was like, I normally sit in my little office. I came out here to work to watch the match. And there's something about like David versus Goliath type matches that you're like, you've known like from playing from a small club, when you come up against a massive club, getting any sort of result is massive. It's like a disgrace to them. But to the small club, that's everything. Like Cape Verde can lose all their matches 10-0. And they'd be like, what a time. We had the best time of our lives. And I just think moments like that is what the World Cup's all about. So going with that.
I'll stick with that one as well for pretty much the same reasons. I think original. Just the whole thing.
Original. Yeah.
I don't know. I just think the whole story around the goalkeeper, it just is one of those, like, it's one of those stories you only get kind of at the World Cup, like, because it's on that world stage where these players, like, he plays second division football in Portugal. He's not going to be getting an opportunity to play against those high class players.
Real Madrid again. Have been signing everybody lately. He might.
That's who he was on about, is the marquee signing that isn't from the Premier League. But no, I'm going to go with that one. As I think, though, again, as mentioned, if the Netherlands-Japan match was what it was in the second half for the first half, I think that would have easily been my game of the week, because I thought the second half was so good. But no, based on obviously just pure just love of the game, has to be Spain, Capo Verde.
Yeah.
We're going to leave it there.
What match are you looking forward to? I can't wait to see the England match. I can't wait to see how England do.
Yeah, me too. I actually have England in the team sweepstakes.
So you're shouting for England?
So bittersweet. I really, really... don't like the talk.
See, I got the US and our sweepstakes, so I'm just like, I actually don't want, like, I was raging. Well, I got them and I got Dr. Congo, who are playing, as we talk about it, as this episode goes out, will be the next game live of the World Cup. So big ups to Dr. Congo.
And Maeve, as a goalkeeper, like, who have been your best goalkeepers and goalkeeper of the tournament so far?
You're putting me on the spot here.
Yeah.
I was actually disappointed. I watched the Belgium game last night. I was actually disappointed with Courtois.
Yeah, I thought he'd do better. For the first goal, isn't it? Well, for the goal.
I think he can do better there.
Yeah.
He's probably one that I like watching. Alisson, obviously, from Brazil. Love watching Alisson. The Cape Verde keeper is now top of my list. Now.
Yeah.
I'll be watching the next Cabo Verde game. Purely,
for him.
Purely because I want to see how he gets on the next game.
And if he gets pink boots, are you going to get pink boots?
Yes.
New spirit animal. This would normally be our Jersey of the Week segment, but unfortunately, David has fallen sick.
Man flu, little sick boy.
We have nominated the jersey of Capo Verde goalkeeper Vazinha, following his heroics against Spain, earning them a historic draw against one of the tournament favourites. Manufactured by Capelli Sports and sporting a bright yellow colour, this jersey is the light of the Capo Verde team, shining positive vibes and giving the wearer superhuman abilities. We hope this nomination pleases our dear sick David.
Sicky makes sick face. Oh no, I have a car.
That's all we have time for this week. I hope you enjoyed. Make sure to send in your voice notes and your messages to us on Instagram. You can send whatever you want. Give us your thoughts of what things that have happened so far, or what your thoughts are and the games that are coming up between now and next episode.
I'll be away next week. You'll be in the hot seat on your own, Brian. How are you looking forward to that?
Yeah, it'll be fun. It'll be interesting. We'll see who we can get to go on with us.
Less bullshit on the airwaves.
I don't know yet who's going to actually be on. There's no point teasing anything because I haven't secured anybody
yet. Someone will be on.
It could be just me. So that's why I need the voice notes.
Absolutely. Well, feel free to skip that next episode if you're planning on listening. And be sure. Well, thanks for all your time and make sure to enjoy the rest of the World Cup, and we'll have all the latest for you next week.
Let's go! Watching from home on Sports Beat Extra.